Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season.
To our Advent podcast on the first Advent in Palestine. I am Rachel James, Director of Children, Youth, and Family here at First Lutheran.
And I'm Pastor Jill.
Today we're going to talk about Chapter 8, Unexpected Hope, Herod, Magi, and a Star. What's so awesome about this story, this comes from Matthew Chapter 2. We often call it the wise men, or we three kings, but the magi, the word basically means sages, and they were the, you know, I like Lord of the Rings, they were the wizards. They were the ones who were watching the stars, and they, it says here on page 133, they were the wise ones who were stewarding the wisdom and local and civic knowledge, as well as cultivating the resistance traditions in Persian lands. We think they were from Persia. That's the area where they were. And they were watching the night sky, learning, reading. And it says that they saw this hope in the sky. They saw this star and they followed it with openness, with hope, hunger. But they didn't know where the star was going. They just decided to follow the star and they took off through enemy territory with courage following the star. Now, to me, the question that this brought up is the idea of looking to the stars to discern the future is what we call astrology. And I was always taught that astrology was bad and wrong, but yet these magi are clearly astrologists. That's what they're doing. So how does that fit with our Christian faith, Pastor Jill?
I think that's a really good question because clearly they are astrologers. And I don't think this is a Bible story to tell us that astrology is something we should be using in our relationship with God. But it does show that God can use anything. Mm-hmm. And God here was speaking the language of these magi. Mm. Their language was discerning wisdom out of the stars. And God clearly had an important job for them, a role for them. And God used the language they understood. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's not very hard for any of us to find astrological predictions.
No.
And in fact, I think it's easier to find that than even Bible passages when you're mm-hmm. just looking on social media. Mm-hmm. People talk about what the stars are saying. If you've ever paid attention, though, they're usually really generic.
Right. This was super specific.
I know.
That star, get going.
I know.
Go.
Yeah. No. So I don't think in general we get a lot of wisdom about God from the stars. But I think in this case, God used the stars to mm-hmm. speak to these particular people. In the same way, God spoke to Pharaoh in Egypt during the Exodus. And Pharaoh wasn't a Jewish person, and Pharaoh didn't, you know, talk to God on a regular basis, but God was able to communicate in a way that Pharaoh understood as well. So I think God can use anything to get our attention. And no matter where we are in our faith, God will find a way to communicate to us because God is just that talented. Yes. But thinking about these people, we often called them in my growing up, Zoroastrians. That was part of the religion, the Zoroastrian religion. But they were coming on this job they had to do and they didn't quite understand it. But one thing they did understand is they weren't actually coming to a worship a false leader. Mm-hmm. They believed that the star was leading them to a king. Mm-hmm. And I find it so ironic that they went to ask Herod where the king was.
They know he's not the king. Yeah. They're like, not you, but the other king.
I know. There's some other king in your land, and yeah. could you just give us directions?
That is ironic.
On page 137, the author writes, They said to Herod, we saw his star and have come to worship him. Worship, she says, being the familiar expression for showing homage to a political superior, that they reserved their tribute for the new king and not Herod, would have troubled him.
Yeah, that money, that gold, that frankincense, the myrrh, I wondered if Herod wanted that.
He probably did, and he yeah. probably saw they were well-dressed, and yeah. he probably would like to make a savvy political alliance with yeah. somebody from the East, and they were quite bold in being able to just kind of diss Herod. And I think they did it intentionally, and they knew they were ruffling feathers. We also learn in this chapter that perhaps they were experiencing some type of mm-hmm. political oppression in their own land, and so they knew something about standing up for what they believed to be right. But it's also interesting that Herod told them specifically to report back, mm-hmm. and they specifically did not. They yeah. went home by another way. Yeah. They didn't want to create conflict with Herod, but they weren't going to do his bidding either.
Another so. Dream. We heard yes. about Joseph's yes. dream, and now another dream. These angels are busy and in they, the dreams.
Yes. yes. Mm-hmm. And these magi, they just found another way to approach it. And I think that's also educational for us that mm-hmm. there's not just one way necessarily to get things done. And mm-hmm. if we can do things in a better way, if God is leading us in a better way, maybe nobody's gone that way before, mm-hmm. but there's always another option.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's awesome. The other thing that's in this chapter is it talks about the Palestinian artist who created the art on the front of the book and is a famous artist named Sliman Mansour. And starting on page 139, it talks about his art as resistance and as something that is important to the Palestinian people. And he grew up and was there when the Six-Day War broke out and is still continuing to this day in the land of Palestine where there's all this violence. And he is using his art to bring the message of the people, the oppression, and hopefully the peace that's to come. This piece of art that is on the cover shows a woman and a child with UN rations in front of a checkpoint or a gate. And it's just a very powerful symbol of Jesus and his refugee status, but also the current status of people there. And I encourage you to read it. And it reminds me of what you said earlier about God can use anything, because for the Magi, God used the stars. And in this case, God is using Mansour's art to bring about God's story and God's message, and even the political message of a new hope for people who are under oppression.
Right. I love how they talked about how even the colors were yes. being dictated to them that they could use. And so they purposefully used the yes. colors they weren't supposed to use in right. the painting, the artists in his yeah. peer group. And that the topics that they would choose to paint had mm-hmm. to do with liberation and
absolutely.
And yes, yeah, so peace. We're really trying to bring peace and not a violent type of peace. Right. And so what are our tools right. if it's not weapons of war? So right. art is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the story of the Magi coming reminds us that Jesus' arrival was a worldwide event. It wasn't just to the shepherds and just to Mary and Joseph. It was something that echoed across the Middle East and ultimately the whole world. It was this opportunity to hear of liberation for the people in different lands in Persia and in Israel and in Palestine. And we need that too here. I can't even name all the wars and conflicts happening right now. We're thinking of what's happening in Palestine right now. We're thinking of Ukraine. There's suffering, and we need that same sort of peace now. The final quote I want to share is on page 145 at the end of the chapter. It says, in today's wearied world, hungry from east to west, with the hunger for magi and shepherds alike for relief. We all hunger for that. To come from a different kind of king, another sort of peace is familiar to us. It's that same hunger that we all feel this Advent. So that's what my prayer is today, is a prayer for a new kind of peace. Would you join me? God, we thank you that you can use the stars and art and our lives to speak to us, and we can use our voices to speak your message to you. We pray, God, with hunger in our hearts for a new kind of peace. We pray for peace in Palestine and Israel. We pray for peace in Ukraine and Russia and anywhere else that is experiencing the human struggles. God, we hunger for your everlasting peace in our lives today. Amen.
Amen.